T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with us with up-to-the-minute news while working from home, tooling around the garage, homeschooling the kids, whatever. Just tell Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. Joining us now to bring us our weekly legislative update from Topeka is House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins. Dan, thank you for joining us this evening, brother.
John, it's great to be with you this week.
Well, we appreciate you, my friend. You guys have been busy. The legislature wrapped up the session. You're on break now. We'll go back at the end of the month for the veto session. But you guys had a very busy final week, right?
Yes, we did, John. We took action on 47 different bills and conference committees, 47 different ones during this last week. We were busy. We started Tuesday, and we had one real late day. Thursday we went almost till midnight, and then Friday we finished about 6 o'clock.
That's nothing. You and I both have been there through those 3 a.m. sessions.
So yeah.
Midnight's nothing, man. If you don't break 3 a.m., then I don't have any sympathy for you. I've been stuck in that chair for a heck of a lot longer than midnight, so.
Yeah, but you know, those freshmen, they hadn't had that opportunity this year, so that was really the first time for us to go that late.
Oh, that's nothing. Tell them next time that happens, they could call. Well, yeah, we've been there, so that's nothing. Good luck,
Absolutely.
Pal. this week, to kind of recap some of the stuff, this week Kansas became the 5th state legislature to pass the Fairness in Women's Sports Act. I was thrilled to see that. A lot of conservatives glad to see that. Unlike, you know, the press has been demonizing this, the left obviously saying that it's, you know, racist and bigoted and whatnot. Goes to the governor now. This is the bill, for my listeners who are not familiar with it. This is the one that just protects and makes sure that, you know, girls are playing in girls' sports and boys are playing in boys' sports and keeps it a level playing field. I assume the governor is going to cave to the radical left of her party and veto it. Do you think that's the case? And if so, do you think we can override a veto?
Well, we didn't get an override enough in our initial vote to override a veto. I think we were around 77 or something like that.
78, yeah, so
we'd have a ways to go for us to be able to do that. I do agree with you. She will veto it. She's going to have a pretty strong veto pen here over the next 3 weeks. By the time we get back, we'll probably have quite a few things that we'll have to look at and you know, figure out if we've got the votes to override the vetoes. And if we do, we'll do it. And if we don't, then we'll move on.
Well, okay, another one that you guys passed was the concealed carry reciprocity and the Eddie Eagle gun safety training. Eddie Eagle is one of my favorites. Both of those passed with pretty solid majorities. Do you think she'll override those? Do you think she just signs them or just lets them become law?
No, I think she probably vetoes probably both of those. But that's a whole different equation that brings on Even there's some Democrats that are strong Second Amendment supporters. So I think that veto will get overridden. So I'm looking forward to that. I think that she'll look at it really hard. Actually, if you remember, back when she was a senator, she actually voted for some gun bills.
Of course she did.
But now that she's a governor, she tends not to like those. So
right.
I would imagine she'll probably veto those, and we'll give it. That's one that we could be in the call of the House for a while.
Good. Well, those are always fun. I've been the rabbit. I know what that's like. One thing that failed to pass so far was the school choice measures, the education savings accounts. Now, they failed in the Senate primarily due to, procedural, some internal political maneuverings and that kind of stuff. Do you think the Senate's going to work on that in the interim and then try and take it up when you get back to veto? Or what do you think is going to happen with that?
I hope they do. We've got to do something, by the way. So that bill, the education bill, was a funding bill with two pieces of really, really good school choice policy pieces in it. And quite frankly, I was surprised that the Senate didn't get it done. But as you know, there's other dynamics going on there in the Senate right now.
Right.
And that didn't help any. I think that certainly hurt the situation. And then we just have a couple of Republicans that are playing some games. So we'll have to wait and see what they do. When we get back, we actually passed it with 65. So we had two extra. You have to have 63 in the House. She will veto that one.
Yes.
So it's gonna be hard for us to override that with the numbers we've got. But ultimately, we do have to fund education. So during veto session, guess what we're going to be doing? We'll be working on that, seeing what we can save out of it. And I guarantee it's important to us. It's important to Christy Williams, our chairwoman of K-12 budget, that we do get some policy out of it. So we may not get it all. But we're certainly going to continue to strive to get some policy out of that.
I saw that Christy was interviewed recently. I think it was Wichita Eagle had quoted her, and she said that was a piece that she was going to fight for. So I was glad to see that, because for a red state, I'm surprised at how poor our school choice options are for Kansas parents. We're sorry, go ahead.
It's interesting on that, John. There's a lot of us, and you know them, that have always been supportive of a school choice system. But then we have a whole set of Republicans that'll vote against that. So
right.
That's always a difficult one.
Well, there's a lot of the KNEA is a powerful entity up there. They spend a lot of money on elections, and that's I think one of the big factors. We're talking with House Majority Leader Dan Hawkins. A couple of other bills that failed to get even to the floor. One of which was the gaming bill that obviously has some import down here because it afforded the opportunity for a revote on slots here in Sedgwick County. I have a sneaking suspicion that's done at least this year. Come back next session. Do you think that's right? We're not going to see that this year, but next year?
I wouldn't say that. It's interesting, John. Of course, I've been working on that quite a bit that last couple of weeks, and of course the casinos and their lobbyists actually killed that bill on the floor. They put a lot of pressure on people, and they killed it. I think it's interesting that they killed a bill that was going to make them $45 million in revenue. Of course, we get some tax revenue off of that. I'm not sure that they were really thinking right, because what was that? Was that revote for Sedgwick County worth $45 million? I don't think so.
Right. Yeah.
Would the revote actually cause a lawsuit? I don't believe so. And quite frankly, if you talk to some of the attorneys that are fighting against us, they say, yeah, it's just a bluff. We know it's not going to cause the problem that we say, but sometimes those people use things just to scare the heck out of people. And that's what they did during debate. They had one of our members go up and just rail against, the revote. So I wouldn't say that's over, John. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if they don't realize that they need to come back to the table. And quite frankly, if they do come back to the table and they want to negotiate, we're ready to negotiate. If they don't, that's okay. We're good with the way it is, and we're going to move on, and they can lose $45 million this year.
Yep. No, I think you're right.
What a deal.
Yeah. Another bill comes out of the same committee is the medical marijuana bill. As it currently stands, there's a lot of us, even people like myself who are proponents of well-regulated medical marijuana, couldn't get behind this bill in its current form because I think it's just recreational light. I hear that, it's got sent back to Fed and State. Is there a chance here in the next couple weeks they could renegotiate that, then when you get back for veto, maybe have a committee try and push something out and vote on it this session, or are we looking at next year?
No, I always say no. That's kind of a weird way of
doing
it.
That's okay. Don't sweat.
I do that. Actually, I would say yes, it is a chance for it to come back. In politics, and especially when you're dealing with these policies that are very contentious across a wide spectrum of people, sometimes you have to fail to win.
Yep.
And that's kind of what happened here. Is it came out, and I say it was rushed out because we were running out of time. It got out of committee, and quite frankly, then people started studying it and said, "Whoa, this is a lot farther than we want to go." The speaker, probably rightfully so, stuck it back in committee for a good reason, and that's not to have it under the line and, all of a sudden it be pulled up when it's got lots of work to be done on it yet. So he stuck it back in committee. I have been talking to, the main players in that the last week, and I think during the 3-week break, we'll see those all come together, and I think when we get back, there's a really, really good chance that we come out with a better product. So sometimes you have to lose if you call sending it back to committee losing. You have to lose before you can win, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen with this. Your friend, my good friend here in Derby, has been working on it very hard.
Blake Carpenter. He's working on it.
Yeah, he's a key player in making sure that it's medical, and of course we have a couple others up in the north part of the state that are a little bit more on the other side. I've talked to both of them, and I think we're going to get them to sit down and come up with a plan to make it better.
Good. Little tease next week, just for my listeners. Next Sunday, we're actually going to have both sides of this bill on the show. We're going to have a conversation. We'll have folks from NORML, the National Organization for the medical or marijuana reform laws, and then they're proponents for legalization. And we'll have opponents to the bill on. So we're going to have a dialogue on that next week. So it should be interesting. I think you're right. I think hopefully you guys can, get the minds together and have a good conversation on that. Lastly, Dan, I know you guys passed the budget this week. I was glad to see funding held flat. Blake and I talked last week about Henry Helgerson's little attempt to get you guys with a gotcha vote that failed. Although I'm sorry to see that his 2% cut didn't make it into the final bill. That would have been hilarious. Are you satisfied with the budget? I'm sure you would have actually liked to see the cut in spending in there, but are you satisfied with the budget?
We all, when Henry brought that amendment, and actually you and I both know Henry is probably one of the more conservative, fiscal conservatives up there.
Yeah.
Not social, but fiscal. I mean, he's certainly a budget hawk. And he was trying to make a point, and I think he did make the point. And of course, we jumped on that point and passed his amendment because it was a great amendment to just cut 2% across the board, including education. The Senate didn't have the same opinion during the negotiations on the budget, and that went on 2 days, off and on all day for 2 days. And it wasn't until the last round that finally got pulled out.
I'm sorry it did. I would have liked to have seen it just because Well, you know me. I'm a fiscal hawk.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have cut 5% and been happy with it. I could have slept with that. But
oh, yeah.
But that's
yeah.
just me. If folks want to stay in touch, the best way for them is to sign up for your newsletter at danhawkinskansas.com, correct?
Yes, if they'll go to Dan Hawkins Kansas, Kansas is spelled out, .com, they can go on my website and they can get on my newsletter distribution list. If they do, they're going to love it. I put a lot of good things in there. This last week, I compared the governor's Medicaid expansion to a drug dealer. That was pretty fun.
I saw that. I got a good laugh out of that one. Brother, I appreciate you as always. Enjoy your little break here. And when you get back up there, carry on the fight, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks, John.
We'll take a quick break. And then, of course, we want to hear from you. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. Give us a call. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.